take our Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 39 once again. Genesis chapter 39. The title of my sermon this morning was When We Find Ourselves in Egypt, Part 1. And the title this evening is When We Find Ourselves in Egypt, Part 2. How's that? That's pretty profound, isn't it? Okay. Genesis chapter 39. We read there in verse 1, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt. Let's read verses 5 and 6, and then we will pray. Genesis chapter 39, verses 5 and 6. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Let's bow for prayer. O God, we are thankful for the reminder in song that our Saviour is coming again. We bless you and praise you for that imminent, personal and visible return of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And we are thankful that we have such a blessed hope. And we pray as we spend these few moments in Bible study that you will teach us and encourage us, that we might be faithful until you return. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. We stress this morning from verse number 1 of Genesis 39 that Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And we drew the application that there are times within the Christian life that you and I find ourselves in a situation, in a place that we do not want to be in. It wasn't Joseph's choice to be in Egypt. He was sold into slavery and he was, as the Bible teaches, brought down to Egypt. He didn't plan to go to Egypt. Now, we tend to focus upon Egypt as being only an illustration of being in the world. When a person goes into the world, but we are making the application here that Joseph did not choose to go down to Egypt. He was brought down to Egypt, and the application for you and I is, as I've tried to stress, is that there are times within the Christian life that you and I will find ourselves in situations, in settings that we do not want to be in. And we can be tempted to question the goodness of God, or we can be tempted to complain and make statements like, I don't want to be here. I didn't choose to be here. I just want to go home. But we stress the fact this morning that God had brought Joseph down to Egypt. And we have no doubt in our minds that Joseph was a God-fearing man. For the Bible teaches us the Lord was with Joseph, and Joseph no doubt honoured the Lord. So instead of reading that Joseph complained, we read that God blessed Joseph because Joseph had a right attitude. And it's so critically important that you and I, from time to time, we will find ourselves in situations that we really do not want to be in. We've been brought down to Egypt, so to speak. And it's so critically important that we are mindful, as Joseph of old, that God is with us. God is with us. God is watching over us. God is protecting us. And God is able to bless us. And we see that Joseph was triumphant in Egypt. The Bible teaches us that God prospered him. He was a prosperous man, verse number 2. In fact, the Bible goes on to teach that because of Joseph's presence within Potiphar's household, everything that Joseph touched turned to gold, so to speak. God blessed Potiphar's house. And what a commendation is found there in verses 5 and 6. That the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Now why is that? Why is that? Simply because Joseph feared the Lord. Joseph had a right mindset. Instead of complaining, Lord, I don't want to be here. It's not my choice. He feared God, and I believe that Joseph had a spiritual outlook, and he believed that God was in control. And no doubt he honored the Lord, and God prospered him, and God blessed him, and God blessed the household of Potiphar because of Joseph. In fact, Potiphar's house was so blessed that he promoted Joseph, and Joseph took care of all of the affairs of his household. So we see that Joseph is triumphant in Egypt because Joseph lives in the presence of God. The Lord was with Joseph. And may God help us during those times that we find ourselves in situations that we really don't want to be in. But God has allowed it in His providence. Let me encourage you by the fact that God's presence is sure, and God is watching over you, and God will protect you, and God has a purpose in allowing you to be brought down to Egypt. And we will see that in the chapters to come. So God gives Joseph a promotion. Note there at the end of verse number 6, a description is given of Joseph, a goodly person and well favored. Now Joseph's only a young man. He's only a teenager. This is an incredible young man we have here. Only a young man, but God has blessed him, and Potiphar realizes that the anointing of God is upon this teenager. And God has blessed my household because of this teenager. And the Bible teaches us in verse 6 that Joseph was a good-looking young man. He was a goodly person. He was good-looking and he was well-favored. People knew about Joseph. People liked him. We all like to be liked, do we not? Joseph was liked. Joseph was a good-looking man. He had a very bright future. God has brought him down to Egypt, and God has chosen to bless him because Joseph, no doubt, has honored his God. Now, while we find ourselves in Egypt, we need to be careful because during that time in Egypt, we will face testings. And we find that even though Joseph is triumphant in Egypt, God prospers him. God promotes him. Joseph is very popular. He's a very popular young man. He is 101 in the eyes of Potiphar. But yet we find that he is tested. And that's what verses 7 to 19 are all about. The testings while we find ourselves in Egypt. And if you are finding yourself that you are in an Egypt, so to speak, you are in a situation that you really don't want to be in, we need to honor the Lord, and we need to be mindful of God's presence, and we need to acknowledge the fact that God has a purpose in bringing, in allowing me to be brought down to Egypt. But while we are in that situation, be mindful of the fact that you could well be tested. You could well be tested. We need to beware of seduction while being in that place of blessing, even though that place of blessing is Egypt. And we find that God is blessing us, God is at work. We need to be careful. And as I stressed this morning, Egypt is a picture of the world. But yet at the same time, Egypt is also a picture of being in a place that we really don't want to be. And so God is able to bless us while we are in Egypt, but we need to beware of the seducing spirit of the world, the flesh, and the devil that desire to sift you and I as wheat. The Lord Jesus gave Simon Peter a very sober warning. The Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, that he might trap you and destroy you." And it's during those difficult times, beloved, it's during those times of testings that we need to be vigilant and we need to be sober. And may I submit to you, my friend, during those times of where you find yourself in Egypt, it's not where you want to be. It's during those times that you need to be on guard, because there are testings before you. So how does the devil try to seduce Joseph while he's alone in Egypt? Remember, he's apart from his family. He's just a kid, just a 17-year-old kid. And he's apart from his family, he's on his own, but he's got God with him. How does the devil try to seduce him? And the Bible teaches us there's everything going for him. He's been promoted in Potiphar's house. He's a good-looking young man. He's a well-favored man. He's a very popular man. Everybody knows about Joseph, and everybody likes him. He's good-looking. May I submit to you, you are good-looking in the eyes of God. The Bible teaches us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. God makes no junk. I used to preach that all the time as a youth pastor. God makes no junk. You and I in God's sight are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are a goodly person in the sight of God. Yes, you are. And you are well favored in the sight of God. Yes, you are. But you have an arch enemy in the devil that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And we see this in the life of Joseph at this point of time. Note then verse number 7. It came to pass that after these things, everything is going great for Joseph. He's been promoted, he's been blessed, everybody likes him, he's a good-looking young man, everything's great, great, great. But note then verse number 7, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife, Potiphar's wife, cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." Now we find the testing. We need to beware of seduction while being even blessed in our time in Egypt. God is able to bless us while we are in Egypt, but we need to beware lest we are seduced by the world, the flesh, and the devil. The setting here is that Potiphar's wife is trying to cause Joseph to sin. Potiphar so trusts Joseph that he leaves everything into his capable hands. Wow, that's a brave thing to do. To leave everything in the trust of a 17-year-old teenager. He must really, really trust him. And here we find that Potiphar's wife is trying to cause Joseph to sin. What can we learn about her tactics? And more so, what can we learn from Joseph as to how we can overcome becoming a victim of sin? Beloved, when you and I find ourselves in Egypt, when God in his providence brings us down to Egypt, yes, it can be the place of blessing as we honour the Lord, but also it can be the place of testing. The first point I want to make this evening is found in verse number 7, where it reads that she, master's wife, that's Potiphar's wife, cast her eyes upon Joseph. And I'd like to submit to you, my friend, tonight, that The devil has his eyes on you as a child of God. In fact, he wants to destroy you. In John chapter 10, the Bible reads that the thief, in reference to the devil, comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But praise God that Jesus Christ has come to give life and life more abundantly. And may I submit to you that the devil has his eyes upon you. Just like Potiphar's wife had her eyes upon Joseph, the devil has his eyes upon you. And as 1 Peter chapter 5, please, verse number 8 reads, let's turn there for a moment. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. We need to be reminded that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. My friend, but in the sight of God, you are goodly and you are well favored, but not in the eyes of the devil. See, note in 1 Peter 5, 8, be sober, sober-minded, in control of your mind, be vigilant, be alert, because your adversary, the devil, is an adverse to you. He is against you and I, because in the sight of God we are goodly, we are well favored, but I'm afraid to remind you this evening, before God we are not. The devil is our adversary. So the Bible teaches us, Peter, of whom God said, Jesus Christ said, Simon, Simon, the devil wants to sift you as wheat. And didn't Peter learn the hard way? And therefore Peter writes in his epistle, be sober, because there were times in which I was not sober. Be vigilant, because there were times I was not vigilant, because your adversary, the devil is an adversary. Potiphar loved Joseph. He honored him. He respected him. He promoted him. But the devil is our adversary, beloved, as a roaring lion walketh about. He's active, seeking whom he may devour. Potiphar's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. My friend, the devil has his eyes upon you. He wants to destroy you. And that principle needs to sober us. And then verse number 7 goes on to read, back in Genesis 39, verse 7, that she said very boldly, lie with me. The world, the flesh, and the devil are very bold. They will invite you to sin. The invitation will be very, very personal. That's why Proverbs 1, 10 and 11 reads, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. The world, beloved, the flesh and the devil are very bold. She was very bold. She wasn't backward in coming forward. She said to Joseph, lie with me. And the devil and the world and the flesh are very bold, beloved. They have their eyes upon you. Oh, but Pastor, no, the devil's not interested in me. I'm not a threat to God. Listen to me. In the sight of God, you are well favored. Yes, you are. You are goodly. You have great potential for the glory of God. Oh, Pastor, not me. Yes, you. If God can use a 17-year-old teenager, God can use anybody. Amen. You are well favored. You are goodly in the sight of God. And Potiphar's wife had her eyes upon Joseph. The devil has his eyes upon you. And the devil and will use the world and the flesh to entice you into sin. But note his response in verse number 8. But he refused. What a wonderful statement. Joseph said no. Let's say it together. No. One more time. No. One more time. No. She cast her eyes upon him, lie with me, and Joseph refused. He was pressured to sin by an older, no doubt, a more powerful individual. He stood up to her and said, let's say it together, no. Joseph was prepared to stand alone. Joseph was prepared to do what is right. Joseph has just God with him, doesn't have mum to encourage him, doesn't have dad to encourage him. He is on his own, and the Bible teaches us that he stands alone on his own. But he refused. Beloved, we need to understand that we in Jesus Christ can say no to sin. It is possible, as Joseph of old said no, it is possible for the blood-bought child of God to also say no. May I remind you of Romans chapter 6, please. Romans chapter 6. In verse number 1 it reads, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Verse 2, God forbid. How shall we that are what? Dead to sin live any longer therein? In Christ Jesus, we've been buried with Christ and we've been raised to newness of life. When a person receives Jesus Christ as Savior, the shackles of sin have been broken and we have a new master, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are no longer enslaved to sin. Note then verse number 11, please. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Rest upon the fact. Reckon. What a wonderful Bible word. It's an Aussie word, but it was a Bible word first. Amen. I reckon. Yes, we can reckon upon the fact that we are dead to sin, the Bible teaches us. Dead indeed unto sin, but we are alive unto God. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should what? Obey it in the lust thereof. Joseph understood that he was dead to sin and he could say no, and he said no. And you and I, as a child of God, need to remind ourselves that we need to say no to sin. Look at verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Amen. Verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. What a wonderful truth. That's why Joseph could say no. The Bible teaches us, but he refused. We need to understand that we can say no to sin. If you are a genuine child of God, you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit then indwells you, the power of sin has been broken, sin is no longer your master, Jesus Christ is your master. It doesn't stop sin still wanting to lead you, but you can say no to sin and yes to Jesus Christ. You can say no to sin. See, Joseph, though Potiphar's wife had her eyes upon him, and even though Potiphar's wife was very bold and said, lie with me, he refused, the Bible teaches us. And note what he went on to say in verse number 8 and 9. Back in Genesis 39. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, My master watcheth not what is with me in the house. He hath committed all that he hath to my hand. Note verse 9. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? See, Joseph stood his ground. Joseph said no. And what enabled Joseph to say no, and what will enable us to say no to sin, is that we need to reflect upon our responsibilities. David said, in essence, I've been given this great privilege and position within this household. How can I betray your husband? How can I betray his trust in me? How can I sin against my God? See, Joseph had the discipline of mind to think beyond himself and to think beyond immediate gratification. He thought about his earthly master, and more so, he thought about his heavenly master. He thought about others. And beloved, this will help us. This will strengthen us. This will empower us to say no. Joseph refused because he thought to himself, how will this sin affect my master? How will this sin affect my God? How will this sin hurt my master? How will this sin hurt my God? See, Joseph had maturity. Just a young man, but boy, he had a measure of maturity. He had a strong sense of accountability. This outweighed any momentary pleasure. And beloved, we need to consider the yoke that God has placed on our shoulders and allow those yokes to govern our responses to life, especially when we are tempted to sin. He was responsible. He refused. Note then verse 10, and it came to pass that as she spake to Joseph day by day, she was persistent. Women can be pretty persistent. She was persistent day in, day out. And note what the Bible says, and he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. She was persistent. She wasn't going to give up easily. This is how the devil works, beloved. He won't take no for an answer. You listening to me? He'll come back again and again. Note there in Luke 4, please, for a moment. Quickly, Luke chapter 4. In Luke chapter 4, we have the Lord Jesus, full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Verse 2, being 40 days, tempted of the devil. The devil not only tempted him once, twice, and then three times. And then note what the Bible goes on to teach there in verse number 13. Look at this. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him, let's say it together, for a season. That's what the devil's like. Oh, he's not going to say to himself, oh, that Pastor Shimoni, he's a hard case. I'm not going to get anywhere with him. He keeps saying no, 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 no. He's going to come back, and he's going to come back, and he's going to come back. He might have a bit of a break, but he'll come back. And the Bible teaches us that he came, he went, and for a season. Beloved, the devil's persistent. And you and I need to be mindful that we need to be sober. We need to be vigilant, because it's only a matter of time. The devil will come back, and he'll come back, and he'll come back. He's very persistent. Many of God's people are ignorant of that fact. And because the devil is persistent, he will eventually catch the average child of God failing to be vigilant, failing to be sober-minded. And then let's read on. Verse 11, it came to pass after this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. Joseph tried to stay focused, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, "See, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out." She told a lie, didn't she? She lied through her teeth, over her gums, through her gums, and over her tongue. She lied, lied, lied. The truth is that Joseph fled. She would not take no for an answer. So Joseph has no choice but to flee. And my friend, this is not being a coward. This is courage based on conviction. See, there are times when you and I find ourselves in a time of testing that we just need to just get out. Just get out. So I just need to leave here. That's what he did. In 2 Timothy 2:22, the Bible reads, "Flee also youthful lusts." In 1 Thessalonians 5:22, "Abstain from all appearance of evil." Joseph fled. And my friend, there are times that you and I will find ourselves down in Egypt. It can be a place of triumph, but also it can be a place of testing. And you and I need to refuse and say no to sin. We need to be mindful of our responsibilities and how our sin will affect others and affect our God. But also we see that Joseph fled. Joseph fled. But yet the Bible teaches us that he was falsely accused. Note there in verse number 17, "And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, The Hebrew servant, which thou hast brought unto us, came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled." And there in verse 20, "And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison." What was the end result? Well, he was falsely accused. Joseph was falsely accused. Was God still at work? Is God still at work? And the answer is yes. Joseph doesn't react or defend himself. No doubt Joseph believes that God has a purpose in all that he allows. Whether pleasant or unpleasant, God is good, and he will bring good out of our time in Egypt. But Pastor, I don't want to be here. This is not my choice. My friend, there are times within the Christian life of which God will bring us down to Egypt. And we need to be mindful of his presence. And God will bless us. God will prosper us. And God will use us with purpose for his glory. But it's during those times in Egypt that also we need to be sober, we need to be vigilant, because we might be tested like Joseph of old. But as we read on and as we will study on, the God of providence hasn't lost control. God is still at work in the life of Joseph. So during those times of testings, beloved, you and I as God's people need to be mindful that just like Potiphar's wife had her eyes upon Joseph, the devil has his eyes upon you. Because in God's sight, you and I are goodly. We are well favored. God loves us, and God wants to use us all for his glory. And if God has brought you down to Egypt, it's for a reason. Acknowledge his presence. Rest in his providence. And God will bless you. But at the same time, be on guard. Because there might be a Potiphar's wife out there that might be out to destroy you. But how did Joseph respond? He said no. He refused. He focused upon his responsibilities. How can I sin against God and sin against my master? And when push came to shove and sin was persistent, he fled. He fled. May God protect us during those times that God in his providence allows us to spend some time down in Egypt. May God help us to learn from the life of Joseph. Let's bow for prayer.